but there's something more.
Above the wheel, to the right, there's
a figure
in a yellow robe.
And he's pointing. He's pointing to a space. He's pointing to a space between the seventh and the eighth segment of the outermost circle of the wheel. He's pointing to that space. He's pointing to the space between the picture of the man with the arrow in his eye and the picture of the woman offering drink to a seated man. And here, in this space, as it were, rising out of this space, we see the second thing that the Buddha saw in his vision of human existence. And what is that? It's not so much a symbol as a group of symbols. It seems to change its form as we look at it. At first, it seems like a path. A path that stretches far away into the distance. A path that winds now through cultivated fields, now through dense forest. A path that traverses swamps and deserts, traverses broad rivers and deep ravines. A path that winds around the base of mighty mountains, on the tops of which rest clouds. A path that disappears eventually over the horizon. But the symbol changes. The path seems to straighten out. The path, as it were, stands upright. The path becomes a great ladder or a stair, a ladder that stretches from heaven to earth and from earth to heaven. It's a ladder of gold, a ladder of silver, a ladder of crystal. But again, the symbol changes. The ladder becomes slender, becomes solid, becomes three-dimensional, becomes green in colour. It becomes the stem of a gigantic plant, a gigantic tree. And on this plant, on this tree, are enormous blossoms. The blossoms lower down are relatively small. Those higher up are very much bigger. And at the very top, the very top of the plant, the very top of the tree, shining like a sun, is the biggest blossom of all. And in the calyxes of all these blossoms, there sit all kinds of beautiful and radiant figures. Figures of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and Arahants. Figures of Dharkas and Dharkinis and the rest. So this is what the Buddha saw. This is what the Buddha saw as he sat beneath the Bodhi tree. This was his vision of human existence, as communicated by concepts, as communicated by symbols. And the significance of the vision is quite clear. It's a vision of possibilities. It's a vision of alternatives. On the one hand, there is the cyclical type of conditionality. On the other, there is the spiral type of conditionality. On the one hand, there is the reactive mind. On the other, the creative mind. One can either stagnate or one can grow. One can either remain seated, as it were, and accept the drink from the hand of the woman, or one can refuse the drink and stand up on one's own two feet. One can either continue to revolve passively and helplessly on the wheel, or one can follow the path, climb the ladder, become the plant, become the blossoms. Our fate, as we saw in the last lecture, our fate is in our own hands. The Buddha's vision of human existence therefore represents a challenge. And those who take up the challenge will find themselves forming the nucleus of a new society. And it's with this new society, of course, that we shall be concerned in our next lecture. Nowadays, there is a great deal of woolly thinking in the world. There are many different kinds of wrong view, and they all represent rationalizations in one way or another of a limited range of experience. What we need nowadays, perhaps more than anything else, is right view. What we need is perfect vision, the vision of the Buddha. Because if we have this vision, we can grow, we can develop. Without it, we may well perish. So a glimpse of this vision, at least, is one of the four things that the Friends of the Western Buddhist Order has to offer the modern man, the modern woman. And it's a glimpse of this same vision that I've tried to share with you tonight. And it remains to be seen who will take up the challenge that it represents.